Hour number two on this Monday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharsky with you today, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun first hour. Again, if you missed the top of the show, new show here from 9 to noon. I'll be with you every day here on Next Man Up, but we'll rotate people in and out. Paul will be here at TD on Tuesdays, and plenty more voices around Nashville. Excited to get started. We are off and running today. Let's get back into the Titans. Energy has been a big talking point so far in training camp with, you know, the first couple of regular non-padded practices, there was talk of energy is low. And then the pads came on, you thought maybe that would fix it, and it really didn't. Seems like, based on reports, and PK, you were out there, did it feel like the energy was better over the weekend, and that maybe you started to see the juice that was lacking early on in training camp?
Yeah. I thought, actually, the last 2 days, Saturday, Sunday, things picked up. Can't really explain it. You just you feel it or you don't. Now, Brian Callahan did not agree with the idea that there was not sufficient urgency. But I wrote about it. I think on Friday. This is the second time this camp. I wrote on opening day of camp about how the offense is keyed around timing, and that Cam had very good timing on opening day. And then the second day, the offense had terrible timing. I retweeted the story and I said, wrote about the Titans keyed around offensive timing, was not good today. You know, going back to it, you know, I wrote urgent or uneventful considering the Titans' quiet start to camp. That was August 1st. So that was Friday, right? And then the next 2 days, and I'm not in any way suggesting I had anything to do with it, but the next 2 days, it was better. And it was overdue, I think, to be better. And I'm not looking for trash talking or fights or whatever. I was saying, you know, when they make a play and there's a reaction to the play in the moment, that didn't seem to carry over into that series, the next play or anything. Everything seemed to be kind of independent of everything else. And that is uncommon to me. I picked one play. Kevin Winston popped somebody in the middle of the field that I thought was a borderline hit at the stadium. And it didn't turn into anything. There was no excessive whooping from the defense.
Right.
Again, I'm just talking about it. I'm not saying there has to be. I'm just using this because it's evidence of how things have been consistently to that point. And there was no, like, offensive guy running to defend the guy who got popped. And then nothing came out of it. And so I had a couple kind of reasons that I thought these things weren't happening. These things, which I do think picked up in the last couple of days, but I don't think we've considered some of the reasons, some of the things that are going on. This is a 3-14 team, the worst team in the league, that has some major, major question marks. Name me a starting position that's up for grabs.
Tight end, maybe. But like,
I think tight end, Chig's the move tight end, and Helms the inline tight end.
Right.
Right? Inside linebacker is supposed to be a competition. James Williams and Cedric Gay seem to kind of split it the first day, and James Williams has not moved from there since. I think we have audio of Frank Bush talking about this yesterday, and this is the company line, if you have it ready. This is the company line from Frank Bush.
We're still fighting that battle. You know, it's a good competition in the room. James is doing a great job. Cedric is coming along. And even Curtis Jacobs and Otis, those guys are starting to show up. So that competition's still going on. We, you know, we're going to, you know, find the best one out of the bunch. But right now, they're fighting like hell to see if they can be the guys that run out there with the rest of the guys.
They're fighting like hell. But not at practice with the ones, they're not fighting like hell. Because
right.
Practice with the ones, all of the snaps have been James Williams.
It's a good point.
And he said they're fighting in the meeting room. Well, position battles don't unfold in the meeting room. Now, look, it's early, and they've got three games, and they might start three different guys with the ones in three games. And somebody else said, I think Denard Wilson said, he wants to see what James Williams can do on the field in a game when Cody Barton's not there, right? And that, to me, is one of the biggest issues of this position. I've written and said, I don't really care that the second inside linebacker is the weakest spot on the defense, right?
Yeah.
But what happens if Cody Barton gets hurt?
Right. Then your second inside linebacker becomes your first inside linebacker, and that's a pretty big issue. I love that you made that point, because it's something I hadn't really thought of, that, yeah, there's really no competition, especially for starting positions. Like, the offensive line, you know the five who are going to be out there. You could argue that wide receiver, like, there's some competition, some shuffling, but you could count out the six wide receivers who are going to make the team right now pretty
easily.
The top
six, right? Prochet is putting some pressure on as the seventh.
Right.
And after seven, I think there's a gap. Restrepo maybe is eighth. People have finally come in to see the light that he's not working very high. Now, I would say Jefferson is three right now, and most people probably think Isle Manor is
right.
Three. And there's room for roles to shift there. But we know who the top three are right now, and we know who the top six are right now. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that sorts out. But is there a ton of tension surrounding the Titans right now? I mean, I'm sure those guys feel it. But is there practice tension in terms of, I've got to go out there and make the starting lineup? No. And is there even practice tension for a lot of guys, like, I've got to make the 53? Isle Manor's not thinking I'm in risk of making the DK's not thinking
nope.
That. There's a pretty solid, I don't know how many, but if I counted the roster right now, the number would be too high for how many guys know that they're on this team.
Feel comfortable.
And that lack of tension is part of what I think a lot of us are talking about as a factor in this lack of urgency, energy, electricity.
It's a very good point, because not that you need desperation, but urgency, I think, is the right word. Of, yeah, you could maybe argue that there's probably 5 to 10 guys, maybe 15, who are fighting for those last few spots, which, honestly, the last couple spots probably comes down to what positions the Titans want to keep an extra guy at. So it's less about competing in your own room as it is where the Titans are going to prioritize their 53. And some of those guys, we mentioned earlier, Titans have number one waiver priority. Like, 51 through 53, I don't think they're going to be very comfortable even when they're told they made the initial roster.
Maybe even longer. Maybe even a few more than that.
Right. So I think that is probably one of the bigger reasons why there hasn't been a ton of juice. I made the surface level observation over the weekend that it was a little less hot over the weekend, so maybe that helped too, that, like,
yeah,
you know,
maybe
a little less tired out there. But I think if you're looking for...
I think that factors in. I said Saturday was one of the top 3 days I've ever been at a camp in 29 years, weather-wise.
Right. It was, what, low to mid-80s, which is...
And a breeze. And if you're in the shadow of that building, which we are generally, it was lovely.
Right. And you're all in these pads and you're out there working. Like, I'm sure 95 degree heat is going to bring the energy down a little bit. But I think if you're looking for big picture, what could be causing this lack of juice is that there just isn't a whole lot of urgency from this Titans roster, because a lot of guys feel comfortable in what their role is going to be this season. And is that an indictment on the front office for not bringing in enough competition? Is that an indictment on Callahan for not stoking that enough? I don't know, but we'll see if that improves throughout training camp. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to your phones coming up next. We'll also continue to talk about what the joint practices could do for this team, because it's not just about Cam Ward. Maybe that's what brings the juice, is you're not competing against your teammates, you're competing against another team, coming up later this week. Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharsky, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharsky with you on this Monday. PK, you got something?
Yeah. So Taylor, Davehead77, says, if I didn't see who is tagged on this, on Twitter he's saying this, I would think this is the Paul and Simon Kaharsky show. Baby face Jake.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah, a lot of youth. Simon begins his sophomore year at Ravenwood today, so he's unavailable to host this show. So
that's
you
why
are
I'm here.
Safe in that regard.
Don't have.
Also, I don't think he's got a radio personality and B sports knowledge. So if people are coming for your job, don't worry about Simon.
Don't worry about Simon. I believe we're going to talk a little more about Simon later on.
Yeah, Simon had a torturous Sunday.
We will get to that coming up later in this hour. Yes, I have gotten those comments before. I believe.
Hold on. Let's do an over-under.
Okay.
Now, did you go to Virginia Tech?
I did go to Virginia Tech.
You went to Virginia Tech. How long have you had the Vandy women's play?
This will be my fourth season.
Four seasons. So I'm going to peg you at 26.
I will be 26 in November.
Look at that.
There
Give
you
me
go.
A bell sound. Or
there you go.
I'm happy for the applause track
yes,
that you play.
I mean, if I round up, I am 26. So there you go.
When's the big birthday?
November 11th.
November
11th. 11-11. So.
How do you feel about being young?
You know, it flies by. It feels like yesterday I was still in college. So, you know, I feel like I'll be 30 before I know it.
Now, I'm pretty good friends with a couple of Virginia guys, so I think they probably hate you. And you probably hate them.
My whole family went to Virginia Tech, so I was trained from a very young age to not like the University of Virginia.
Do you know John Glennon at all?
I have not met John Glennon, but obviously, you know, follow him on social media.
He's a UVA guy.
I did not know that.
I have streaked the lawn at UVA.
Really?
Yeah.
And
I've never been to Virginia Tech, so.
We don't like that UVA. They're very prim and proper. It's not campus. It's the grounds over there.
I call it campus.
And you're not a freshman. You're a first year.
Yeah. I lived in D.C. I was working an early job of my career in D.C. I had a friend in grad school at UVA. Not that far from D.C., went there several times.
Gotcha.
Had a blast.
I grew up just outside D.C., so there we go.
A lot of very handsome women there. Very, very attractive place to spend time at that age.
In Charlottesville, for sure. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Bellevue has been waiting patiently. Matt, good morning. Go ahead.
Oh, guys, take your time. We're talking about energy levels, and never have – I don't know about the Titans, but my energy was given a whole new level when I found out of the change over there. I tell you what, it is refreshing to listen to radio that's just not cancered out. I know we're not going to mention any names or anything along those lines, but, how can you not pick on the Titans? They're an easy team to pick on, but day in and day out, second guess, every move they do, talk down on them, trash the team. Amen. Thank God you guys made a change. I love it. I don't care who you guys got up there. Paul, keep going. Whoever you guys put a little positive to it. And I enjoy it. Today you guys are actually positive. Goodbye to the radio cancer that was. Goodbye to the person who likened himself to Tom Brady. Goodbye.
Thank you for the call, Matt.
I'll just say this about the negative positive. I'm not high on this team. I've got a lot of doubts. I don't know
it's
that we've
okay.
been positive. You're saying that we've been positive. I think we've
kind of been trashing Cam Ward.
Hour
here.
And 20 minutes, we've had negative things to say about Cam Ward and about the offense and the like. But you know, for my perspective, I'm over there on a daily basis. I have relationships with all of the people I'm talking to you about. And so I'm, you know, I make an effort to have some degree of respect as I talk about them, even if I've got major complaints about things. We're going to talk shortly about the one thing that's really pissed me off that I've heard since camp started that I think's ridiculous. Does it mean that I think Brian Callahan's idiot and incompetent and all of that? Absolutely not. But do I take issue with something that he's said in the last week? Yeah, very strongly.
I think we both are pretty realistic about the Titans. I would not guess that they're going to win more than five or six games this year, but, you know, not pessimistic to say. I mean, I guess that would be the right word. Let's go back to our phone lines. Adam in Portland has been waiting. Adam, how's it going? Thanks for calling.
Dude, that last call was ridiculous. You could be proud for Jake and not crap on the dude out the door. He's a great talent. I've hated him for a long time, but he's a great talent on the radio. Whatever, dude.
He's
anyway,
very good. Very good at radio. I wish nothing but the best.
For sure.
For sure. Hey, so all right. So here's my problem with what you just said, though, man. I'm picturing like a job where sales are down, and you got to make changes, and you bring in new talent, and if there was no energy with that group, wouldn't you think you brought the wrong people in? If you're saying IO Manor and DK and all these guys aren't worried about their job, that's the most ridiculous. Then you got the wrong people. Like, you got the wrong people in there. We were the worst team in the league. I'm paying thousands of dollars for season tickets. Like, you should have some urgency to get better quick. Like, shouldn't you feel that? Like, Lockett, like, even Lockett being a older guy, he's like one of the only dudes I'm seeing bring energy. And I know he's a shoo-in to make the team. So I just feel like if these young guys don't have pressure on them to make the team, dude, that's kind of ridiculous.
Well, stick with us. Stick with us. I'm not saying they don't feel pressure, but I'm seeing if you're realistic, I mean, do you think Isle Manor is going home at night thinking, my God, I'm at jeopardy of not making this team? The fact of the matter is they spent 2 fourth-round picks on receivers. They're a receiver-needy team. If you look at the depth chart, which we'll see later this afternoon, but I mean, if you make one up, it's clear that, I mean, if you're a fourth round draft pick by the Tennessee Titans, you're on the team in your rookie year,
unless your name's Des Fitzpatrick.
No, yeah, but they're fighting. I mean, I don't mean to indicate they're not going out and fighting and playing hard. I just mean to tell you the tension of that thing where you're a fringe guy trying to make it. That belongs to James Prochet, right?
Maybe so, dude. But even like, Isle Manor, who is he? Like, he's not proved anything to me. And DK, I've heard enough about fast. Like, the Raiders are a prime example of somebody who drafts fast dudes that don't know how to play receiver. Just because you're fast doesn't mean anything to me. So, like, you need.
But who do you have
pressure
beating them out? Sheffield?
Who knows? You got number
Jaquan
one
Jackson? Have you seen Jaquan Jackson?
Yeah, I know he sucks. I don't even like saying his name. But at the same time, you got the number one slot when these guys get cut. So these guys should not feel like they've automatically earned a spot, dude.
Thanks for the call, Adam.
I don't know what their mentality is. I'm just telling you realistically that the Tennessee Titans of 2025 are not even in the slightest considering cutting fourth-round wide receivers.
Why would they pick them if they thought they weren't going to make the team right off the gate?
Even if they were disasters, they would get more time than that. And
right. They're
not disasters. They're playing well.
And sure, there are probably teams out there with more wide receiver depth where maybe Elik Iemanner and Chim Dike, maybe they are towards the bubble. I still think if you spend a fourth-round pick on a guy, they're going to make the team. But this is not a team that has enough wide receiver depth to be cutting fourth-round picks. Like, like you said, even if they were a disaster, you hope on the potential of what you saw when you scouted them that, hey, maybe training camp was bad, but they'll figure it out, rather than going with an undrafted rookie or somebody like Jaquan Jackson, who you've already seen really isn't a quality NFL player.
And maybe Adam's issue is that they don't bring in good enough guys, and it's hard to find them, quite frankly, when you're talking about a TJ Sheffield or a Matt Landers. I think Landers came in as a one-for-one for Colton Dow. Well, Matt Landers, I mean, he's a good-looking guy, 6'4", 200 pounds, he's a basketball player.
Right. He's an athlete. Maybe not a football player.
Not a football player. You know, and you can only do so much with those free agents that you're getting. You know, Burks disappeared like we expected he would disappear. If he was back and healthy and had transformed himself into something that he hadn't been, could he have made things more interesting? Maybe.
I think Burks was probably the wild card in all of this was – yeah, you'd like to see him make the team. I said this before. He was Caleb Farley last year. Like, you've kind of given up on him, but you're going to give him a chance to go make some plays and make this roster. Farley didn't do it last year, and Burks obviously gets hurt this year.
And the Titans are on a long run of that guy in that position. You know, you hold out the tiny bit of hope
right.
If you're us, maybe a little bit more hope if you're them.
But you're not
and
counting
it doesn't
on
come
it
to fruition.
Yeah, and I don't think they were counting on anything from Treylon Burks this year, but obviously his tenure ended, I think, earlier than they hoped it would with the injury at the stadium practice last week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to get into what Paul has not liked that he's heard from the Titans. What's really gotten him going so far here in training camp? We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharsky, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Jumping ahead a little bit, but what will you get out of the joint practices over the next couple of weeks, maybe that will give you a better indicator of what things you need to work on, what things you're doing well, that maybe you just can't get out here going against yourself?
You just get to see another team, and with that comes another set of schemes on offense, defense, and special teams, so you get to see different looks, different style of play. Both those teams have different things that they do from what we do, which is good. And then you get a chance to see guys compete against another team, and you get to measure a little bit of where you stand. Again, I think those teams are talented teams. I mean, they're both teams that I think are going to be in the playoff race. It's going to be good for us to go against them. And from strictly just a competitive standpoint, that's the thing I'm looking most forward to. Just seeing a different color jersey and different players going up against our guys. And I think it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to it very much so.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday, looking ahead to joint practices this week against Tampa Bay, next week against the Atlanta Falcons. It is that time of the year. There is a Titans football game this weekend. Crazy to think that the offseason, as long as it is, it can fly by. The Titans will play their first preseason game on Saturday against the Buccaneers. Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharsky, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. PK, you mentioned that there is something that the Titans have been saying that you have a problem with, maybe frustrating to you. I'm very interested to hear what this is.
Yeah, well, I really, I think philosophically this pass rush thing is very circular. We touched on it a little bit earlier. So they stay at number one. They draft the quarterback so they don't get the big-time pass rusher there, which is a guy a lot of us, you know, dreamed about but knew was probably not going to happen, right? Then you trade down in the second round, and you're not getting the best of the possibilities. If you stayed put, you could have got Donovan Ezekiehu out of BC. He went to Dallas. He had 16.5 sacks last year. If you brought him in, you would have felt like, hey, you got a collegiate premier pass rusher, right? They take Oladejo at 52. The guys that went after him who fit kind of the more traditional, they're small, not small, but smaller than Femi. Mike Green went to Baltimore. He had off-field issues, right? Princely Umamelin, whose name I butcher, went to Carolina. He lasted until 77th in the third round, right? It might have been too much finesse, not enough power.
Right.
And he lasted a long time. You're not taking him at 52. So, you know, their options were very limited. There was nobody in free agency that was going to be this guy. So they make it a little bit like, hey, we decided to go bigger. But I think it also was decided for them that they were going to go bigger. Because Draymond Jones and Ward are who's out there for them.
Yeah.
Right? Draymond Jones, who's maxed out at 6.5 sacks. You don't have anybody that's been a sack artist. Key is your bendy edge, who's a third down guy. We talked about him being streaky and everything. But bear with me as I read this Brian Callahan quote, because I wrote a story about this idea that they went from kind of, I think it's fair to characterize this way. They talked last year about, you know, the guy who gets the one-on-one needs to win and get to the quarterback. And now they're talking about, we want a collective pass rush to close the pocket on the quarterback. Well, you're going from asking one guy to win with a favorable matchup to asking several guys, if not to win outright, to have a successful rush simultaneously. Now, what do you like the odds of better there, Jake?
Winning one one-on-one seems to be an easier task than everybody collapsing the pocket together.
All right, so here's Callahan. He's talking first about quarterbacks. They don't really like that from my experience, and quarterbacks don't respond well to a solid push from the interior. Now, this has become popular. Vrabel was big on this too, right? And they're built around Simmons and Sweat. Number one thing they want interior push from those two guys, which doesn't necessarily mean sacks. It means making a guy uncomfortable and getting him off the spot. Quote continues, "You can deal with edge rushers. You can help on the edge. It's hard to help inside. Someone's going to get a one-on-one inside, and so that's kind of the key, is who gets the one-on-ones and how do we win, and then how do we rush it together where everything's a little more coordinated from that perspective. Again, I don't know that it's going to guarantee more sacks or not, but I think we have better feel for what we want to do with the players we have." I, and this is what I wrote, I take major objection to the idea that you can, quote unquote, deal with edge rushers. Okay? Here's how the Titans dealt with edge rushers last year. Danielle Hunter of the Texans and Will McDonald of the Jets had three sacks against them. Daryl Taylor of the Bears, Bud Dupree, Tua Tagovailoa of the Chargers, Andrew Van Ginkel, Patrick Jones of the Vikings, and Will Anderson of the Texans each had two sacks against them. That's just, you can deal with edge rushers? The Titans deal with edge rushers so well that for the 15th year in a row, they're addressing tackle, where they spent $22 million a year on Dan Moore, and last year used their first-round pick on J.C. Latham. And it feels to me like you're setting a low bar for your edge rushers. Oh, they're going to be dealt with because somebody's going to chip on them and they're not going to get there, so we're just going to count on winning one-on-one. You know, Myles Garrett tends to be a little bit of a problem. You don't just deal with him. And he said, oh, well, there are some guys at the top. And I said, well, certainly you'd like one. Oh, yeah, yeah, we'd like one of those guys. We just couldn't get there. Look, I do too much of this. I do too much of this where I parse the words that people say and beat them up. And this was one line. But this is the first time I've done it this year. And I think this line, you can deal with edge rushers, really makes an excuse for the Titans. They don't happen to have any edge rushers, so they say, well, if you had one, you could deal, the teams could deal with them.
It immediately made me think of Myles Garrett 2 years ago in that Browns game where the Titans just were shifting the tight end back and forth to try and
Schwartz was making fun of him.
It's just like an elite edge rusher, there's a reason those guys get paid so much, and there's a reason the tackles that have to block them get paid so much, because it's really hard to do. And I understand if you really like a quarterback, you take Cam Ward. And I was a big proponent of taking Cam Ward first overall. But you do have to spend some capital, whether that's draft capital or in free agency, although elite pass rushers don't hit free agency very often. And we'll talk about maybe one who's available on the trade market. But you have to spend high draft capital, premier draft capital, to go get an elite pass rusher. You had the chance to do that with Abdul Carter this year. You decided to take Cam Ward. It feels like next year, wherever the Titans are drafting, it's got to be a pass rusher. It doesn't even matter. Like, unless Femi Oladejo comes out and is defensive rookie of the year and has 11 sacks as a rookie, you have to go take a pass rusher, especially if you're picking in the top 12 to 15. You can build around that. If you can have first-round pick Jeffrey Simmons, T'Vondre Sweat, Femi Oladejo, if he is who you think he is, that is a good start on the defensive line. But you've got to have a premier edge rusher. You have to. The teams that are really good and win Super Bowls, they have an elite guy who can get to the quarterback. Josh Sweat would have been the example last year, and he took over the Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
Yeah. And it dictates so much for the rest of your defense. If that guy can consistently cause problems, then everybody else's job gets easier, you know, and you take a lot of strain off the secondary. Right now, this looks like a team that's going to need to blitz a lot, which puts a lot of strain on your secondary if that guy doesn't get home or is not influential on the play. And they have capable blitzers, McCreary out of slot, Winston out of slot. Brownlee certainly can cause trouble. I think Barton and Williams, you know, are interesting guys in that role. But this team's had its best success historically when it's rushing four. And you want to talk about what a dynamic pass rusher can do. You know, people may be sick of it, and it's ancient history now. You go to 1998, Titans had a pretty good defense that was missing one thing.
Yep.
You go to 1999, and they found the one thing at number 16 in the draft. You dropped Javon Kerson, and you had a Super Bowl defense.
Yeah, it's I think it's fair to say the Titans have not invested enough capital into that position. I mean, when's the last time they picked a pass rusher
Derek
in the first round? Derek Morgan?
And was that 2010?
I think it was
2010.
And like,
that's
you take
too
la-
long.
You
now,
took
they've
Landry
had free agency,
early.
And they had, you know, they brought in some
Arakpo and
yeah, but not enough.
Right. That's one of those positions that you shouldn't go 15 years without taking one in the first round.
And look, they talk about affecting the passer. And certainly there are plenty of plays where you can affect the passer and you force an incompletion and all of that. But we know, and I wish I had stats in front of me, like there's some outrageous number of how ineffective drives are when the quarterback is sacked during that drive.
Yeah.
You know? So forcing an incompletion on second and eight is great. You got third and eight. Sacking a guy on second and eight and creating third and 14 is a different deal.
Right. And that's why the Titans defense last year, although you look at the yardage numbers and they're fine, they were just ineffective. They couldn't force turnovers. They couldn't get to the quarterback. Like, those are the two things that your defense has to be able to do. You know, forcing incompletions, like you mentioned, stopping the run, all that's really important. But the really good defenses, they get short fields. And you do that by sacking the quarterback and turning the ball over.
Right. The Titans had the other thing, and their defense deserves some grace based on the fact that special teams was putting them in bad field position.
Will Levis.
And the turnovers were not just bad, but they frequently put them in the, you know, turnovers weren't happening down in the red zone. You know, they were happening and positioning people on the porch.
Right. You look at that Lions game where it felt like Jared Goff was starting at the Titans 30 every single time he had the ball. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. When we come back, it was an interesting weekend in the Karski household, I believe.
Stressful.
And we will
too
talk
stressful
about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharski, Connor Newt, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharski, Connor Newt alongside you on this Monday morning. First day with the new lineup, so don't forget Chase and Big Joe coming up at noon. They'll be with you till 3. And then DVD takes over in the afternoons from 3 to 6. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason. So, Paul let me know over the weekend that it was a very stressful weekend in his household. And as someone who grew up playing baseball, and I umpired some Little League travel baseball stuff, I know that it's a big deal. And clearly some big decisions had to be made for you over the weekend.
So my guy is an all-in baseball player. He is part of the Ravenwood High School baseball program, which is a super competitive environment. It's going to be harder and harder for him as he goes and tries to get a foot in the door in the varsity program, which will at least thin out a little bit after this giant senior class graduates. Godspeed to them all. But he had a secure spot the last 2 years at his travel team, and they had two 15U teams combining into one 16U team. So that was going to be a competitive environment, and all indications were good there, and we kind of got sideswiped when he did not get an invitation. And look, so I'm a bitter dad, you know, defending his kid, and I can understand there was a path where for them it was not the best. He was not the best option for them amongst their middle infielders. I can't really buy it. I think they were a little disingenuous on some of the on sticking to core principles that I had come to buy in with them. I'm disappointed in them for that. But that sets off a scramble, right? They had early tryouts, fortunately. Started, you know, there's a Facebook page where everybody posts their tryouts. I start hashing through that. He's telling me, yes, I'm interested in these guys. I'm not interested in those guys. So-and-so plays for them. His coach from the old program is not still going to be at least a full-time coach with the old program, was a big fan of his, disappointed that he didn't stick, you know, offers to go to bat for him in any way, shape, or form possible. So gets a call like the day after he's cut, just coincidental with the from a team where one of his buddies from Ravenwood plays. You know, we just had our tryouts, but we're really interested in him. Talked to some people about him, trying to find a field for like a secondary tryout to have a couple other kids out. You're interested? Yeah, we're interested. I'll keep you posted, you know. Sign up for a couple other things. Goes to one, you know, the next night. Things go well. Coach remembers him from playing against them. Simon doesn't like to, like, stick around after stuff like that or for me to have conversations with people. He's like, Dad, let's just go and we'll hear from them or we won't hear from them. And I'm like, listen, let's just stick around a little bit. Like, so a couple people put in a good word for you with this guy that he knows and everything, you know. So you end up sticking around after this one. Get an offer, you know, verbal offer right there. Look, you leg up. You got an offer already, you know. Go for a hitting lesson the next day, you know, a new guy to you know, just see, you know. Gets a lot out of that. Gains several miles an hour just on some swing changes. You know, that's a big deal, right?
Right. Plus, exit velocity.
Plus confidence is up. Now I'm swinging the bat better to go to these next couple tryouts. Go to a tryout of a new guy who's very intriguing, starting something new. Do the same thing. This was just like an individual thing, but there were four kids there, but three of them were a year younger. I thought he did well. Do the same thing. Like, he took a couple questions from a couple parents, and I'm like, let's hang out for a second, whatever. And he's like, no, let's go. Stick around, ask a couple more questions, get an offer there on the spot. Meanwhile, the other guy who had called us, you know, I call him like, hey, we got a couple of offers. I don't want to pressure you or anything, but the clock's going to start ticking, and you know, I don't want to lose a chance for you, for us to get seen by you, you know, and everything. And he's like, calls me back like a half hour later. He's like, listen, I've talked to these people. I've talked to these people. I went on Game Changer and I looked at some clips. You know, sight unseen, I'm willing to offer him a thing. So, got three offers out of two tryouts. You know, pretty good rate. He goes back to the new guys thing to see the bigger tryouts and likes that. So it comes down to two teams. One, a big established organization. They've got 4 16U teams.
Yep.
Right? He doesn't know guys that are on his team necessarily, but he knows several guys that play for other divisions of this team. Looks really good. Guys have been incredibly gracious to us. Nice. Can't go wrong there, right? Looking at the practice times, where it is, how it fits the schedule, all of that stuff. The other one is this guy, very impressive guy, who won a ring as a scout for the Rangers, played in the Twins system. You know, really about player development. Sent me like a whole scouting sheet that broke him down.
Wow.
You know, section by section. Here's what it does well. Here's what I would work with him on. Here's whatever. His whole thing is like player development, major player development. All right, so it's clear, like the one team, we're going to showcase you and get you out on the field. The other one, hey, we're not going to play as many tournaments, but there's going to be a lot of personal development. I'm a scholarship guy. I know how this whole system works, right? Torture. I do not remember. It reminded me of when we had to put our dog down and it said to Simon, you know, who just couldn't get to the point where he left the room, like, we could stay as long as you want, but it's not going to get any easier.
Right.
It reminded me of when I was making my college decision.
Yeah.
Right. And my dad on that night, you know, my mom and I and my dad were sitting around and my dad got up at one point and went to bed. He said, you got everything in front of you. I know you'll make a good choice. You know? Oh my God, he was just tortured. Called his old coach, had him on a conference call. He offered his opinion. His mother and I offered our opinions. I felt like I was kind of nudging. And he finally decided. So this OFP, a new organization out of Spring Hill, which is a little further from Brentwood than
right.
I like, this guy, who's a former Texas Ranger scout and has a World Series ring.
Wow.
We're partnered up with him and forging ahead and looking forward to great things. You know, I said to the guy, it feels a little risky. You know, you're new.
Right.
That's what I think is making him hesitate.
Maybe
versus this established.
Higher ceiling, lower floor, I guess would be the way to put it. Of like, the player development side is great, but also not as established, not as safe as maybe the other.
And he's inheriting some players from another program that he's kind of taken over.
Right.
But he said, look, I'm taking some risk for you, too. He tried out. I saw him field. I saw him hit, but I haven't seen him play a game.
Yeah.
You know, I like him. I think I can maximize him. But we're both taking a risk.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it.
So it was good.
For people who don't understand the world of travel baseball, like it's.
Or travel sports.
It's travel sport. Yeah. Soccer, anything like that. It's stressful. I mean, have you ever seen, I think it's John Chris does the sketch on travel baseball, and it's like, all right, welcome to the team. Our first tournament's in Clearwater, Florida.
Right. If we win that.
It'll be $15,000. If we win that, we go to Puerto Rico 3 days later. That'll be $20,000. Then we go to the Mumbai World Championships. That'll be $100,000. It's like, what do we do about our jobs? It's like, you quit them.
Yeah.
I own you now.
Yeah. Well, these tournaments, like this year, all of a sudden, we were playing games on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Right.
I mean, like, my wife's not working currently, and that's a great time for me.
Right.
But, like, these other families were like, what the hell do you guys do?
Right. I mean,
you
know? I guess.
Hey, we can give you a ride if you need.
For you, it's great where weekends are much busier for you, especially during football season. You're traveling.
Plus out of season, though, you know, outside of the combine and maybe a rookie camp and stuff. I'm pretty wide open.
But
so baseball season's great for me.
People with regular 9-to-5s, it's like Monday and Tuesday. Like, how are we going to get out there? And I mean, that's.
If he was a football player, I'd be screwed. I'd never see him play.
615-737-1025. Great stuff from Paul. Glad that the decision making is over at the very least.
Yeah. And now give him a t-shirt and let's get the ball in the gap.
T-shirt and a cap and get rolling. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Final hour coming up next. There are some players who might be out there on the trade block in the NFL. Do either of them make sense for the Titans? We will talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Paul Kaharsky, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.